Hello and welcome to another edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter at OTGBasketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, Harris Wishard and OTG writer Corey Waldron. What's good, guys?
Nick, Harris, thank you for having me on, guys. It's a pleasure as always.
What's up, guys? I called for a playmaker and and Nick responded by adding Corey on the show today. So that goes to show you how much pull I have at OTG.
Yeah, that's very true. We'll talk about LeBron's comments about needing a playmaker, a little bit of Wizards and Celtics, and we'll give you guys our All-Star reserve. So we'll start with that right off the bat. Corey, who do you have in the All-Star game in the reserve spots? Start with the East.
The East is tough because there's so many good point guards in the East. So first off, of my reserves, four of them are point guards. Thomas, I think, is a lock, Lowry, Wall, and Walker. I think all four of those point guards have shown enough to deserve a spot in the All-Star game, and I really can't see how you can snub one of those guys to this point in the season.
Yeah, actually, that's the same. I have those four guys on my team as well.
This is not going to be fun now because I had those four too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard. We'll talk about the front court after, but Isaiah Thomas, a lot of people wanted him to start. Same thing with Kyle Lowry. So, I mean, I automatically had them as a lock. John Wall also had some talk about him wanting to start, so I felt like he was a lock. And not to mention, they're all having great seasons. And Kemba Walker as well, and they're all, you know, like the main cog on their team, kind of pushing them to that next level.
Well, I've been pushing for that since the beginning of the year. I thought that Kemba has definitely taken – and you know I'm a Kemba guy, so he's, to me, taken his game to another level. And, you know, they got off that really hot start. I haven't played as well since, but I definitely think Kemba's going to get a nod here. But – you know, it's like Corey said, it's tough to leave any of those other three guys off also.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see how you could make an All-Star team without those four. So, but who do you have for the front court, Corey?
I have Embiid. I think it's time to trust the process fully. Kevin Love. And then I'm torn on the last person. Like, I have Paul George in there. But, like, I really don't want to give Paul George an All-Star spot at the same time because, like, I just haven't been happy with his play.
But he's too good to give him that spot.
What?
That he's kind of too good not to get that spot, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem.
Yeah. See, for me, I went with I'm a little bit different. I went Paul George, Kevin Love, and I went Paul Millsap. I know Embiid has had a great season, but, I mean, Millsap I think is pretty underrated. And the fact that Millsap plays all the games, he's not in a minute restrictions, I think that kind of helps his case. But if Embiid made it, I don't think I'd be upset. But I'm just going with a guy who kind of doesn't get enough love.
Yeah, I also sided with Corey here. Melo also is going to be in consideration just because of his name. I could easily see them leaving Love off and having Melo in there also because we know that the Cavs already have two All-Stars. The Knicks have obviously struggled a little bit. But I honestly see Melo in there. I went with Paul George also and Embiid. I'm fully on board and trusting the process also. And so I could definitely see them. I had Love, but I could see them. Melo and Millsap are two guys, I think, on the cusp, and I could easily see those two guys getting in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty tough, but I think we all agreed the backcourt was easy and the wild cards were easy. But on to the West, who do you have for the backcourt, Corey?
I have Westbrook and Lillard. I thought those two guys were a lock. Obviously, Westbrook, you can't not have him now. And I think Lillard's put up enough scoring output and has been the vocal point, obviously, for Portland that he – has deserved a spot as well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with obviously the Westbrook. That's like a guaranteed lock. Like, we're all mad pissed off that he's not even starting. So, I mean, if anything were to happen, if he didn't make the team, we'd all kind of flip out. But instead of Lillard, I went with Mike Conley. I think Conley's having a great season. Memphis has had a lot of injuries. He's kind of taken his game to another level after getting that huge contract. So, I mean, it's going to be tough, but I don't have Lillard on my list.
Wow.
Harris, what about you?
Yeah, I went with so we're talking backcourt. I think Clay is also going to get named to the team also, point guards. But Westbrook is obviously, like you said, that's a shoe-in. And I also went with Lillard. I could see the Conley argument and what he's meant to that team. But being that Gasol's also going to get the nod, I know we're talking front court now, but I also think that Dame, I don't think you could snub him 2 years in a row. His average is above – is he averaging above 20 now? Right around there, 20, 21.
Yeah, he probably is.
Yeah, so it's going to be really tough for me to see Lillard again getting left off. But I think the front court is where there's going to be some disagreements here.
See, I don't know. Well, what do you think about the front court, Corey? Who do you got?
Well, and Lillard's averaging 26.2 per game.
Yeah, there you go. That'll do it. So
he's top seven. He's seventh right now in points in the league scoring wise. And what was the question, Nick?
Who do you have for your front court?
There's a lot of good bigs in the West, but yeah. I have Cousins, Draymond, Gobert, and then Towns and Hayward to finish it off.
Yeah, so
for my you left Clay off.
Yeah, there's too many Warriors. Like, it's tough. Yeah. Like, all of those guys, obviously, you can make a case to deserve an all-star spot. Right. But, like, I just don't want a Warrior-heavy Western Conference team. I guess maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I just don't want a Warrior-heavy all-star team.
Yeah, I think Clay's the one who's kind of, like, I don't know if people are going to put him in. I went with Marcus Gasol, Draymond, DeMarcus Cousins, and Rudy Gobert. And I still have my last wild card open, and I've had that open for like the last 24 hours, and I still can't decide. So maybe Harris, you can kind of convince me.
Cat? Can I throw Cat in there? I think Carl Anthony Towns. I think he's an all-star, man. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, we also haven't mentioned Chris Paul.
Well, he's
– he's injured, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, his season before he was injured, he was having another great season.
And crazy. I actually left Gobert off. And Draymond off. I know that's going to upset you, Nick, because I know you think Draymond's an all-star. But I think Clay has been an all-star too, quietly averaging 20 points a game. But I know what Green does for
them. But what happens if you take out – who's going to have a bigger impact? Do you take Draymond off the Warriors or Clay off the Warriors?
Draymond.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, but I'm talking front – but we're also talking front court, back court too. Because I think that –
yeah, I
think Kat deserves to be in the all-star game also.
But I mean, I think it's impossible for like Gobert is having a great season. He's top five in offensive rating and defensive rating. I think he might be the only player who's top five in both, and he's like top two, not even just top five.
Did you have Hayward in there?
Hayward, no. I still have one spot open. I have my last spot, and I couldn't decide between Chris Paul, Hayward, Damian Lillard, and Clay. Clay was in there, so I mean, I want to kind of go with Chris Paul just because of the name, but you guys made me feel bad about not having Damian Lillard, so I guess I'll go with Lillard.
Yeah, well, my wild card spots were Towns and Hayward, and I had the same issue with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin for that matter. Like, both those guys at this time, but like you look at the name, and they're both all-star caliber players.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Paul's like been consistently a top three point guard or top five point guard for like the last 10 years, so it's so hard to have an all-star game. He probably wouldn't play, though, I don't think, so it might not matter as much.
You're probably going to see four. You know, more that I think about it, you might actually see four Warriors in this game.
Kerr is coaching the Western Conference, so, I mean, it's a possibility. But, I mean, I think they deserve three. I don't know if they deserve four. Like, I just don't feel like Clay's doing, like –
They got three last year? They got three last year, right?
Yeah, they probably got Steph, Clay, and Draymond.
Yeah, it was those three.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, I don't know. I think Draymond's numbers aren't crazy, but you still know the impact he has defensively and like that energy and tenacity and that toughness.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those, it's the age old argument of, you know, all-star obviously has a lot to do with team success as well. It's hard to, unless a guy's having an incredible breakout season, for the most part, you know, they will reward, you know, those top couple of teams, which is why, you know, we haven't mentioned Aldridge at all. I know he hasn't had a great, great season, but.
But he's been mentioned, yeah, in some of the things. I think that's what's going to probably prevent Towns from getting in.
Aldridge?
No, Aldridge has been mentioned, but I'm saying I think what will prevent Karl Anthony Towns from getting an All-Star game will be the Timberwolves record. I think people will look at that, and they might go with somebody else who's on a better team.
And Nick, you said you have Connolly, right? That's you have him as the one reserve?
Yeah.
See, like, I even think, like, Eric Bledsoe should be in the conversation at this point, too.
Yeah, well, Bledsoe really has had a great stretch, but I think just like Towns, he'd be a guy, you look at the record and you go, eh, you know, I'll go with a guy who's on a winning team.
Right, okay.
Just because I feel like that's kind of how they look at it sometimes. At least that's definitely what we saw with the starters, because I can't say that anybody would say, you know, Curry's having a better season than Westbrook. The only argument would be, you know, the Warriors are the best team in the league and Curry's their second or first best player, so. But talking about best players in the league, one of them's pretty pissed off, and that's LeBron James. The Cavs lost to the Pelicans without Anthony Davis after the Pelicans had previously lost the last week to the Nets by 25-plus points with Anthony Davis. So The Pelicans aren't a very good team. They're not very consistent. The Cavs lost to them. LeBron's not happy. After the game, he said, we need an effing playmaker. You know, we're not better than last year. What do you guys think about this? What do you think about playmaker options? First, just tell me what you think of this quote and LeBron's attitude right now and what's going on with the Cavs.
I'm okay with it. He's been saying this for a month now that they need a playmaker, and instead they went out and they got Kyle Korver, which I hate that move with a passion only because they didn't need another shooting guard who can shoot. But you know, he keeps saying they need a playmaker, and they have made no moves obviously for a playmaker. And at this point in time, it's if LeBron's not on the floor, there's really no one else to create for anyone else. And obviously, when you keep losing and you're losing against teams that like the Pelicans without Anthony Davis, the Cavs should never lose that game when Kevin Love, LeBron, and Kyrie Irving are all starting. That's a game they should win 9 out of 10 times. And this was
you
the
could even argue they probably should win that game even if one of them was missing. If it's just Kyrie and LeBron or Love and LeBron, you know what I mean? If
yeah, I agree. Guys out.
So. It's a late January loss for the Cavaliers, and we've seen LeBron's. You know, I talk to Nick about this all the time, Corey. We've seen LeBron's teams hit rough patches in regular seasons, and big slap in the face here to Kyle Korver saying that he can't put it on the deck and make a play.
It's a fact. I mean, at this age, yeah. I don't think he's making.
No, I'm messing around. But
and the Cavs have lost 5 of their last 7, so it's not just like this one loss LeBron's pissed off about. Yeah. It's this recent stretch of play.
Yeah, you know what? I just don't like it in the media as much, and it's not. It's one of those things where we know how much pull he has in the organization. We understand what he means to the city, and we know what he means to the organization. So we understand when he's sitting down with, you know, the GM and the owner and telling these guys, I just think this is something he's sending messages, but I think this is something maybe a red flag of where their relationship is that he can't go to them and he has to go through the media with it.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely has been frustrated on the court too. Late in that Pelicans game, there were some issues, you know, some people in the wrong spot, and you could see he wasn't too happy about it. So, yeah, it kind of will help the Cavs, though, I think, in a little bit. You know, every time you have a rough stretch, you got to kind of look at yourselves and come back at it. Do you guys think the loss of Dellavedova and the injury to J.R. Smith is having an impact?
I guess you can say Deli missing. They're missing Deli,
but he's pretty good in the pick and roll off the bench.
Right. So, I mean, I guess in that sense, yes. J.R. Smith, I think they definitely miss J.R. Smith just because he can score you 20 points in the blink of an eye if he's on. And you don't really have that kind of scoring without him.
Well, yeah. I know what another weird thing is that this is a team that fired their coach when they were, 30-11 last year? Now yeah. They're 30-13. It's like it just sometimes feels like they're – I think they're as good as their record is, but – it's just weird how certain things go in Cleveland. Then they start to figure it out, and then by April you think it all, you know, everything will work itself out with them. But sometimes I think LeBron does this also to wake his teammates up, and it could be used as a motivational tool going forward. But I heard guys like Jarrett Jack and Mario Chalmers' name came up, and that's kind of laughable because I don't think that reunion would go over too well. But, you know, there's also that, you know, in the back of my mind, a possibility of a blockbuster where – if it gets to a point where it's so uncomfortable, they could think about something major happening in Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, who do you guys think of some playmakers? I know Matthew Handel wrote an article a few days ago about it. He mentioned Norris Cole, Mario Chalmers, Ramon Sessions, and then kind of like a wish list guy in Goran Dragic. I mean, Norris Cole kind of makes sense a little bit. I heard also Deron Williams as a possibility.
I mean, that would be nice having Deron Williams, obviously. I mean, I look at I kind of like the thought of Jameer Nelson on the Cavs. Hey,
that's a nice one too. I heard that too as well. That
only for the fact that like he's healthy this season and he's a playmaker and that's what he wants. So if you get a guy who's, you know, primarily a playmaker, LeBron can't have any more complaints, obviously. Because Norris Cole and Chalmers, even in the Miami days, were they even playmakers really? I mean, not really. Yeah, Chalmers was a defender and a spot up three shooter.
I think Chalmers kind of developed his games a little bit more in Memphis because he had some nice stretches there. So I think he could kind of add to it. Cole kind of gives him some energy. He's not like a huge playmaker, but he can score a little bit in bunch. He's not consistent. But I think I agree with you that they're not really like true playmakers or anybody that's like, oh my God, they're going to make the Cavs so much better.
Here's a name that I heard, and it made me sick to even hear this possibility, but Rajon Rondo would be a terrible idea in Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't think that would happen. LeBron doesn't. I don't know that.
Heard Melo's name, obviously, but I don't know.
We'll talk about Melo in a little bit.
Yeah, Deron Williams, I think, would be a better fit for them than Jameer. I think Jameer Nelson, I don't know how much he has left.
I think Deron Williams would actually be a great fit.
Yeah.
Like, this is ideal kind of for him. He doesn't like the spotlight. He still can, you know, play pretty well in spurts. And, you know, you're not relying on him much, and he could still give you some big games because he's had some nice games for Dallas. But you don't need to count on him every night. So I think it would really work out. It just depends.
What would his contract? What would the contract situation be with Deron Williams?
I mean, his contract's not huge. I don't think it's like anything crazy. But that would be the next thing with who they trade for Deron and how they make the contracts work.
Right.
Also, what Corey said, Jameer Nelson's not a bad name either. You know, he had the long run with Orlando to the finals. He hit some clutch shots, and he's kind of, you know, like a veteran guy that can kind of just do his job. I think LeBron wouldn't mind him.
And also in Denver, you know, Jamal Murray, I think, needs more minutes. So if you want to give him more minutes, you got to cut somebody. So then you can play Nelson.
Yeah, Denver's doing some nice things over there. Like them.
Yeah, exactly. They are doing some nice things. They possibly could get that 8 seed. Nikola Jokic is great. But still talking about the Cavs, it was rumored today that the Knicks approached the Cavs about a possible Melo for Love trade, and the Cavs had no interest. What are your thoughts on this?
That's it. Like, I was going to laugh about it. Like, it's a joke. I would never in a million years trade Kevin Love for Carmelo Anthony. And, I mean, defensively, it's kind of a washout. But at least Love can rebound at a high rate compared to Melo. And also he's younger. I'd rather go younger than go older.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't think the Cavs would want to make this move either. If the Knicks wanted to take on something else or, like, get another team involved or something.
Yeah, but it would be amazing how much – and I'm not saying this would be a good deal. Obviously, I think it would work out for the Knicks, being that I think Love and Porzingis could be a nice 1-2 punch. But and you'd see more of the Minnesota Love than you saw in Cleveland. But it would be amazing. Melo, I'm telling you, would look 2, 3, 4 years younger playing alongside LeBron. All of a sudden, he'd be motivated to play both ends. It'd be amazing what LeBron would bring out of him. Not saying this would ever happen, but you wouldn't be watching the Melo that you're watching in New York every night, because you would just be held more accountable and wouldn't be the primary option, and his job would be a little easier. And
well, so I think that too. He would probably have more energy to play both ends and play all around, because he wouldn't be relied as much as the score. Like, sometimes when on the Knicks, like, they need him to score 30 just for them to be in the game.
Yeah. And also, Melo has never, like, shied away from the big moment. He would be hungry for playoff. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of his game, but, you know, him against the Warriors, or, you know, him going forward, there's something about him against some of the best players in the league also, and when he picks his spots and stuff. I mean,
and obviously the lack of playoff success, he would make him extra hungry. You know, the opportunity to play in the NBA Finals would be huge for him, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, no, he gets a bad rap right now, obviously, for what's the turmoil that's happened in New York. But if there was anybody that probably needed a fresh start and just to kind of, you know, get rid of all the negativity around him, it'd probably be him. But I don't think the Knicks are going to move him at all. So
if you had to put a percentage on it, guys, what would you put on Melo getting traded this year?
5%.
Harrison?
10.
10%?
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to go a little bit more. I guess I'll go like 20%, because for some reason I feel like if the Knicks don't find any success soon – I mean, they did get that win against the Pacers. Sorry, Corey. They really, like, didn't earn that win. They still kind of blew the game. The Pacers probably could have easily won that. So I think if they keep having these, like, late-game issues and losing games, they'll be more inclined to try to move him. And he kind of understands now that it just makes more sense for both parties, especially if they're not going to make the playoffs.
But, like, if you're Melo, this is a question for both of you. Would you waive your no-trade clause just because the Knicks are struggling to go to a mediocre team? Or do you still –
Yeah, I think it would depend on the team.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, for me, like, I only see the Clippers and Cavs as like two teams that he would ever waive. Maybe the Thunder. I know they wanted a scoring small forward. Maybe the Thunder, but like, I don't see teams that would even want Melo.
Like, yeah, I mean, Melo, I think that's the thing too. The team has to want Melo. Maybe a fit in Boston, but I'm not sure if they would be interested. They obviously have the assets. It depends on also what the Knicks are asking. Like, all this drama and nonsense that's happened for like the last year or two, it doesn't really help his value. So, but if he keeps playing like the way he is, it does, you know, still it doesn't really matter because he's dropping like 30 a night. So I think that's going to have a big issue, and it depends on what the Knicks are willing to do and if they just want to get rid of him and be done with it, or if they're just hold on to the contract.
Yeah, you know what, Corey? I think, you know, for me, you know, being in New York and, you know, Nick around New York, and you were all, you know, from here. So you've heard, you know, Melo's attitude, what, you know, even George Karl came out with the book and the concerns and stuff. Does he strike you as a guy that's going to lift his no trade clause to go to anything but like a team that can win a title? I mean, it's not like one of those situations where he's going to go to a worse off situation. No, it's, I think,
yeah.
He's one of the he's going to go to a contender with a couple all-stars here. That's the situation that I think is the only real possibility here.
Yeah, no, for sure. Anything that would make his situation better and closer to winning a championship. But we had another game last night, Wizards and Celtics. There was obviously some storylines the previous game. Crowder, like, poked John Wall in the face, and then John Wall slapped him. So there was some tenacity. There was some tenacity in the court in that game, just a lot of – blah, blah, blah. So last night, the Wizards decided to wear all black to the game. Mm. Like, it was their funeral. They did come to play, and they got the win. What do you guys think about this as a potential playoff matchup? Maybe a 3-6, 4-5, something like that?
It'll be fun. I mean, even Jay Crowder yesterday showed up to the game in all black.
Yeah.
it was a mutual, like, you know, both of these teams clearly don't like each other at this point in time for, you know, the littlest incident. Like, to me, like, a poke in the nose isn't a big deal, but you know, these guys have egos, so it's the end of the world. It'd be fun, though, because, you know, when Isaiah Thomas is playing against anybody, it already brings a lot of interest. And then it'd be against another top point guard, John Wall, both guys that we think are all-stars to this point. And then you have a healthy Bradley Beal. You have Al Horford. Like, there's a lot that goes into this
matchup,
this new rivalry, I guess, if it is that. That really intrigues, I think, the league. So I would love to see this matchup in the playoffs.
Bring the hate back. Bring the hate back. No, it just reminds me when the Knicks did this like a couple years ago and they were trying to close out the Celtics. It seems a little like immature and it's like childish, but at the same time.
It's fun, though.
Yeah, anything that spices up the competition, I'm on board with. So, I mean, obviously, you know, you'd like to see without the fighting, but. Do you make anything of what Bradley Beal, like when Wall was – did you see the video when Wall was kind of getting hyped up after the game or something and, like, Bradley Beal, like, didn't show any emotion?
I was waiting for you to bring this up. Yeah, I saw that.
I did not see the video.
Yeah, and then Beal, like, afterwards tweeted, like, I think this was, like, almost like not a cover-up, obviously, but it just seemed like he went out of his way last night to say, love my teammates, great win, blah, 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 you know, the cliche tweet after a nice win, because that's a nice win for Washington.
They've been playing a lot better. We talked about it a little bit last week. They were in the bottom of the Eastern Conference. Now they're, you know, like a fifth seed, I think, and that's a nice win against Boston, who's kind of doing well themselves.
Yeah. Are we looking too much into this, Corey? Is there something there?
Well, I don't think there's – I mean, hey, maybe there is, but as long as they keep winning, we're not going to really know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always been talk about that relationship between Bradley Beal and John Wall, too.
I mean, a lot of the talk with them, like, if they didn't like each other, it was mostly because they didn't know how to share the ball.
Yeah.
And we've seen at least this last stretch. I mean, as you said, they're a five seed right now. They're sharing the ball. Like, last night, Beal had 31, John Wall had 27. So when you're both winning, you're both scoring, you're not really going to have anything to beef about. So I don't think
Wall has never – you know, Wall has never been a guy to me that's been he doesn't come off as a selfish player. You know, you could probably criticize him for, you know, a few other things in his game. You know, his outside jumper probably, you know, needs to develop a little bit more and has gotten better. But, you know, I don't think he's a selfish guy. I don't know if that's really something you could call John Wall.
Yeah, no, I don't know if you call that, but there definitely was, like Corey said, some issue with that and maybe not getting the ball to each other enough. But they're making things work right now. And when you're winning, you know, this is kind of what we expected from the Wizards kind of last year. You know, they didn't have a good season. We expect Bradley Beal and John Wall to kind of just carry them to the playoffs. And that's happening this year. Otto Porter is also having a great season. Yeah, I think he's been bouncing between 1 and 2 in the 3-point shooting. So that's pretty nice for him. And, you know, Morris is a nice pickup, and Gortat kind of gets overlooked all the time because he's done a pretty good job inside for them. He's a big
guy. I could see Washington going higher than 5. I could see them continue to
That was my next up. Question, actually. How high could you see the Wizards getting?
Up, going up there, 2-3 maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, I think so. I'm high on them. I really am. I think
the Pacers could be a 2-seed. That's crazy.
Well, you always want to back those Indiana Pacers. Yeah. But no, I've seen enough. I mean, 19-6 at home. That's a really good sign. Haven't been obviously as good on the road, but I think what I've seen from Wall lately is I think everyone is waiting for John Wall to go from like that. Yes, he's an all-star, but is he one of the top 10 players in the NBA? And, you know, he's been showing signs, and I think, you know, 8-2 in your last 10, some quality wins. I mean, Atlanta and Boston are solid basketball teams, but maybe outside of Toronto, I could see them going as high as 3.
I think 3 maybe would be a possibility. That'd be like best case scenario. I'd probably say 4. But I like the Wall. One thing that makes John Wall so intriguing to watch is like last night, I think it was late in the fourth quarter, there was like a loose ball in the court. He was able to just grab that and he outran like 3 Celtics players to the court to get an easy dunk. Like a lot of players wouldn't be fast enough to get to the rim without getting contested, but he was able to outrun them and just dunk it in.
After a loss in Miami on December 12th, they were 9-14 and, you know, 16-6 since then. So that's one of the hottest run. One of the hottest teams in the NBA with some, you know, quality wins against the Clippers. You know, we lost to Houston, but Portland, Memphis is a quality win at home. So some decent wins in there. Obviously, the Boston won last night, and
we got to see them against, you know, Toronto, Cleveland, Golden State, San Antonio.
Yeah, I'll say they could be a 3 seed, but also like my big issue with the Wizards is health. This team is a team that year in and year out, they just don't stay healthy. It's probably the first time in a long time that Wall and Beal have both been at almost 100% healthy each. I think actually Wall is dealing with two sprained wrists right now.
Yeah, it is a team. That's very true, Corey. They have a lot of injuries, and because of the injuries, they're very inconsistent. Early in the year, they're inconsistent. Some games you come see them play, and you're like, whoa, this team can play. And then other nights, you know, they don't bring the energy. But if they're healthy and they stay consistent, I think that the 4th seed, maybe at best the 3 seed.
I mean, remember 2-3 years ago when they were in the playoffs and they were making a run and then Wall broke his hand? Like, that was like peak Washington. Like, that was what we expected from a healthy Washington team.
Yeah, and we didn't get that last year, and now it looks like they're finally starting to get back to that. Because they had that, they beat Toronto in the playoffs, and then they went to the next round, and then he carried the injury over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, yeah, that was back when LeBron was still in Miami.
Oh. Now you're really dating it.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was. It seems like it was like the forever. But before we get out of here, Corey's got an announcement.
Thank you to the Off the Glass Productions. We're going to be starting a new podcast series on Fridays. It's going to be called Central Intelligence. Matthew Handel is going to be also a co-host with me. And we're basically just going to talk about the Central Division in the NBA, the Cavs, Bulls, Bucks, Pistons, and Pacers. We're going to do previews, recaps, rumors, pretty much just a weekly rundown of what's going on in the division.
Yeah, so this is pretty exciting news for OTG as well. You know, it's happy to have another podcast out there. I know Corey and Matthew are going to do a great job. They're going to cover everything Central Division, you know, so they'll be updating you weekly. So it should be some good stuff. So definitely give them a listen. We're hoping to drop the first episode Friday or Saturday. So keep an eye out for that.
Be careful with the Pacers bias, Matt. and also better duo, Kevin Hart and The Rock, or Matt and Corey now. I know didn't a movie just come out, Central Intelligence?
Yeah, we did playoff that. That was my first thought when he told me the name idea. And I was like, we can pull it, though. We can make it work.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get The Rock and Kevin Hart on there as some guests.
But Kevin Hart, he knows his sports, Kevin.
Yeah.
We can mislead people. We'll put a picture of Kevin Hart and The Rock and make it seem like they're on the
That wraps it up today. Thanks, everybody, for the support. Thanks for listening. And